is a fascinating metzius. And that is that on one hand, we are not moine any mitzvahs from this week's parasha. Yet, we learn so much about the hanhogos of life, our everyday interactions from this week's parasha. This is where we learn about the paradigm of what it means to be a Baal Chesed, about Bikur Cholim, about Hachnasas Archim, about what one has to be willing to sacrifice for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each one of these is replete in this week's parasha. Every detail in the Torah is there to teach us something. Let's look for a moment at the original Peirush on the Torah. If someone was to ask you, what is the original Peirush on the Torah? So what would the answer be? So Pashup Shat, the original Peirush on the Torah is the trop. The trop. The trop that we have, Alach L'Moshe M'Sinai, that tells us the cadence of each one of the psukim, the emphasis. And in this week's parasha, we encounter the most unique trop in the entire Torah for the first time. The Shalshelis. The Shalshelis that appears only four times in the entire Torah. The Shalshelis, which is basically a combination of three pazers. I'm not so musical, but according to most, an average Shalshelis has, depending on the word, about 30 notes. And if this trop appears only four times in the Torah, it must be there to teach us something incredibly profound. So let's take a few moments and look at it and see how we can extrapolate from these Shalshelisim. Shalshelis, it literally means a chain. The only other time we see the word Shalshelis used generally is when people talk about the Shalshelis Hayuchsin, the chain of their yichus, of their lineage. What's unique about the Shalshelis? If I would sing, you'd all run out. Who's a Balkaira here? Who's the Balkaira? There's got to be someone. Who? Let me hear a Shalshelis, please. Okay, Shkoya. You heard that? The quivering, quavering back and forth. The Shalshelis itself, you don't need to know which word the Shalshelis appears on. And the Shalshelis itself implies ambivalence. A struggle. And if we look at each one of the four Shalshelisim in the Torah, there are actually seven Shalshelisim together in all of Nach, but let's concentrate on the four in the Torah. You'll see how each one, beginning with this week's Sedra, each one represents a moment of tremendous challenge, ambivalence, and then finally making the correct decision. Where's the first Shalshelis? The first Shalshelis appears by light. In this week's parasha, the Shalshelis always appears on the first word of a pasuk, emphasizing that the subject of the story or the matter that's being discussed is wrestling, is ambivalent, this back and forth. And the first time it appears is by Vayismama, and he hesitated. I'm not going to do that for everyone, otherwise you've got to know what you're good at and not do what you don't. Before I opened the shul, I hired a chas. Avraham Avinu's come. Malachim have come. It's time for Lot to leave. It's time. But Lot has a business. And noch besser, he has sons-in-law in business. And it's very clear. It's time to leave, but he hesitates. Rashi says, "Vayis mama k'day lahatzil es mamoinoi." He knows the score. Either going to get out of this place, it's completely decrepit, it's morally impugnant, it's not the place for you to be living, but he's got a business. And he hesitates. And the Medrash tells us his sons-in-law, his edomers, they're the business. It's not going to be so bad. But he makes, eventually, the correct decision. The next one, Parashas Chayesara. It's time for Avram Avinu to find a wife for Yitzchak. And he gives very clear instructions to Eliezer Evan Avram, his faithful servant, what it is he's to look for in a wife. And it appears on the word Vayomar, when Eliezer is now discussing what he needs to find the perfect character traits in this girl who will be the next matriarch of the Jewish people. And once again, we see this ambivalence. Why? We know. Because Chazal tell us Eliezer also had a daughter. And what's better than marrying your daughter off to your boss's wife? But that's not what Avram Avinu had commanded him. The third one is, of course, the most famous one. Yosef HaTzadik with Eishes Potiphar. And here he's being seduced. And he refuses. And we understand the tension. And finally, the fourth appears in Parashas Tzav in Sefer Vayikra, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the tzivu, he's given the command that until this point, Moshe Rabbeinu has had two roles in Klal Yisrael. He has been the manhig, the leader, and he's also been the person in charge of all the Karbonas HaTzibur. And now, it's time to be Memana the Kohanim, and Aaron HaKohen is going to be in charge, his brother now, of all the Karbonos, and Moshe Rabbeinu has his final Vayishchat. Each one of these represents a moment of tension. The first one, the decision. Do I follow the Tzivoy Hashem, or do I worry about my money? It's very clear, the score. We can extrapolate and make modern examples. People will come to one another and say, I've got a deal, but it's not so kosher. But the whole world's getting away with it. You too can get away with it. It's a challenge of cash, gentlemen. Of money. Or of koichi v'yoytzim yadi. We built up our business. Can't be that this is ever going to end. I'm not here to criticize, or God forbid to pass judgment, because clearly this is a test. But we all know that there have been times in history when people could have survived, but they stayed for their business. This was a test from the beginning of time. Lot, we see the struggle, but eventually gets there. Vayomar, when it comes to Shiduchim, I once heard from Rav Rifkin of blessed memory, the chief rabbi of St. Louis. I happened to be in St. Louis on a Shabbos when he was celebrating one of his major anniversaries, and he said, "B'shem the Chofetz Chaim," that the Chofetz Chaim said, when it comes time for Shiduchim, looks and gelt and ichus and degrees and all these things are zeros. You have to find a digit to put in front of the zeros. You can have all the zeros, but if you don't have the mensch, you don't have the person, the shaveh klum, it's worth nothing. Said Rabbi Rifkin, he heard this, v'shem the Chofetz Chaim. It comes time to Shiduchim, there's ambivalence, pressures. But we have to make the final correct decision. Vayamayim is self-explanatory. We all know about the challenges of the Yetzer Hara. And Yosef Hadik, we see himself is struggling. You look at the Midrash. But he makes the correct decision. And then finally there's Vayishchat. Moshe Rabbeinu has enjoyed both roles. Both roles. And all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he says, from now on you only have one of these roles. And he's ambivalent. But he embraces it and he makes the correct move. In last week's parasha, Evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael. At the very beginning of Lech Lecha, he says, V'eschal l'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. But then it continues. And he says to Avram Avinu, he says, Habeit na hashamayma uspora kochavim. Look up to the heavens and count, see if you can count the stars. Koyye zarecha, so will be your progeny, so will be your children. They will be as many as the stars of the heaven. At the end of this week's parasha, that concept is once again repeated and added onto. He says, the pasuk says, Ki varech avarechecha veharbe harbe zaracha kekoich vehashamayim. I will increase your children like the koich vehashamayim kechol asher asfasayam, and to like the sand at the sea. Klal Yisrael given this bracha. First we're going to become a great nation, then we're to become like stars, and then also like the sand at the sea. Later on Yaakov Avinu is told, will be ka'afa ha'aretz, like the dust of the land. Kechol al sfas hayam, the normal interpretation is that the kechol al sfas hayam is different than the sea, the sand at the beach. It's the sand at the shore, where the waves hit the shore. And that sand is very tightly packed, which represents the incredible tight packedness of Klal Yisrael, how we are connected one to another. At that point, I just want to be mishabeach many of you. You know that at the beginning of Lazman, in JSS, we had a tremendous challenge that continues with one of our Talmidim, Max Profeta, finding out he had a terrible machla. Baruch Hashem, he's in the middle of a valiant fight. But listen to this. Max has required a huge amount of blood. I got an email from his father this morning saying just this week, they think in the next 2-3 days he's going to need another 10 pints of blood. Every one of you was kechol al sfas hayam when we stood here together, every one of us in this yeshiva, and we davened for Max. Harayv am hadras melech. It was incredible. Max's father walked out of here and he said to me, Rabbi, I never really understood what it meant to be part of a Jewish community. But now I know what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. But that's not where you, chevra, have stopped. I just want to be mishabeach every one of you that participated then, and I want to be mishabeach every single one of you who have made the effort to go down to Sloan Kettering to donate blood. Max Baruch Hashem, I think until today, has not received one pint of blood from the regular blood bank. It's all been blood that was donated specifically for him. And it indicates that on the tags. And the YU Talmidim have been writing YU on the tag. And Max sent me a message today. Unfortunately, I've had a flu and you can't go there if you're even a tad bit sick. But he sent me a message to his father and he said, I'm collecting every single one of those tags on the YU pints of blood, And when we're finished and I'm out of this place, I'm going to commission an artist to make an incredible picture of the Torah out of those tags on each pint of blood. That's Kechol Al Sfasayam. We're packed tight like one people. And I'm a Shabeach every single one of you. I also want to give a special, I know the word today is shout out. Special Shabeach. We just started last week a beautiful program between 12 and 1 on Wednesdays. Different JSS students learning with different Talmidim here in the Beis Medrash. Want to be Meshabeach, those of you who volunteered, thank you. It's off to an incredible start. That's Kechol Al Sfasayam. The other taich of Kechol Al Sfasayam is just like the Kechol Al Sfasayam acts as a barrier to make sure that the waves do not overtake the land, so too that's Klal Yisrael. That we are the barrier of morality, of emes, of ehrlichkeit, of ernstkeit, against the tides of the world that's out there. But what does it mean to be a star? What's the pshat? Kekoich ve'hashamayim l'roif. Rashi HaKodesh tells us in the first Rashi, in Sefer Shmois, Rashi tells us, he says, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had counted Klal Yisrael in their life, he returns and he counts them in their death to show us how much he loves them. That we all know. But listen how Rashi continues. He says, why does he do this? Because Klal Yisrael are likened to the stars. Shemoitziam umachnisam b'mispar u'bishmoisam. That he takes them out and he brings them in, both in number and in name. Shenemar, and he quotes Psukim that says Amoitzi b'mispar lechulam b'shem yikra. He takes them out in number and to each one he calls a name. Every single day in the Halukos, the second Halleluka, you all know that we say Ma'ina Misper Lekochavim Lechulam Shemos Yikra. Each star, Chazal are telling us, David HaMelech's writing, has both a Misper and a Shem, has both a number and a name. And in order to understand this, we have to first understand, we have to define our terms, and understand what does it mean to be a number, and what does it mean to be a name. And then what does it mean that stars have both numbers and names? So let's just do it very quickly. Is there an actual definition of a number? So the answer is no. There is no definition of three. Three is a number that we use to define a group of objects or a group of something. There's no actual definition of the number three. And the reason is because the whole concept of numbers are abstract. That's why Chazal call mathematics not matematika, but cheshbon, because it's a lashon of choshev, a lashon of thought. Numbers only exist in the world of thought, abstract thought. A shame, a name, however, is something that defines the essence of what something is. When Adam HaRishon is told to give Shemos, the name of something in the world, word Neshama, Shem are the two middle letters. Nun Hei stands for Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. A name defines the essence of what something is. Stars have both numbers and names. What does this mean? If you look in the Derech Hashem, I specifically brought my English Derech Hashem. I remember when I was at the very beginning of my own Ruchnius Dika journey, student at university, secular university, one of the first things I had the schus to learn was Derech Hashem, to try and understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. And he has an entire chapter in Perek Revi entitled Hashpas HaKoychavim, the influence of the stars. where he goes on the Ramchal to explain how stars are the conduit through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shefa, his Mitzias, is brought and implemented into this world. For everything that exists in the physical world, there is a star equivalent. And the combustion that takes place within a star represents that transition from the world of name to the world of number. Let's look even deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yudke Vavke, is Begematria 26. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is abstract. He cannot be defined. The world that we live in is a world of names. If you look at the word Kochav itself, the Chav Vav represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world of numbers that's abstract. And the Chav Beis represents the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which represents the world of names. A star is that which takes an abstract reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the conduit, you look up and read the whole parak to yourself, that takes the world of Shefa, translates it, and beams it down, so to speak, into the world of names. For everything that exists in the physical world, says the Ramchal, and Chazal in many places, there is star. But however, here's the difference. Klal Yisrael, we know, Ein Mazel Yisrael are not affected by the stars. Klal Yisrael, the Medrash called Arakia HaShamayim. We are the ceiling of the heavens. We're above the stars. So what does that mean? That means that just as a star acts as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to translate his Shefa down to manifest itself in the physical world, so too every single Yid is a star who has the capability and the capacity, they understand what their Metzius is, to express a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. This shalsheles shows us four crucial moments in our lives when we have to make decisions. Everyone knows, I think I shared it with some of you a few years ago, that in English, the Latin root sida or side means to kill. Homicide, one kills another person. Fratricide, a brother. Suicide, one kills themselves. Whatever it is, everyone. Genocide, a race. What do you do when you decide? You kill all other options. The ability to make decisions is the key. And that's why, chaver, when a Yid turns bar or bas mitzvah, they get this title that doesn't really have halachic significance. In halacha, you're going from being a katan to a gadol. But all of Klal Yisrael use these terms. That once a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he becomes known as a bachur. And a girl, a bachurah, a bas mitzvah. You're all bachurim. You're here because you are part of the unique, smallest percentage of Klal Yisrael. You should be incredibly proud. I come here to yeshiva every day, and I'm overwhelmed that these are special individuals who've chosen not just to pursue their degree, but within the context of Torah. Dual curriculum, triple curriculum. They've chosen to do it because they understand what's right. That's what it means to be a bacher, to be boicher. Said Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Livracha, once at a bar mitzvah, he says the letters of the word bachur you could switch around. And once a person has the capability and capacity to choose, you could be chayrev, you could destroy, you could be bareach, you could run away, you could be mischaber, you could connect yourself, or you could become rachav, you could make yourself incredibly wide. One of the lessons from this week's parsha is to understand that every single one of us is a star. We have a name, but we also have a number. And we have the capability to express a chelik of alokami mal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shefa in this world in our own unique way that only you can bring down. Just like every star is connected with everything else that exists in the physical world. But we are not affected by those stars because we ourselves are stars. And how do we do this? By making sure that at the moments of crucial decisions in our lives, that we kill all other options. We understand what it means to be a baicha. And if we can do so, then yes, perhaps it's called the shalsheles hayuchsin, the chain of great yichus. Because we're here, every single one of us. Because our babas and zaydas and our parents and our elder babas and zaydas, sabot rabot, all made the correct decisions to ensure that our shalsheles hayichus would continue. Now it's time for us to step up to that plate. Every one of us should be incredibly proud of who we are and what we're already accomplishing. Every one of us should understand the schus that we have to be a kaychavim, to be stars, and make sure that we ourselves are expressing in our own lives that unique chelik of the Elokam Imal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael waiting for each one of us to express.